Today on Maine Calling, winter's farmers markets. Farmers markets highlight the abundance of fresh produce in Maine, even in winter. Sure, it's easier to grow many crops in the summertime, but farmers all over the state nurture kale, spinach, lettuce, beets, parsnips, and many other vegetables in greenhouses and cold frames year-round. At winter farmers markets, you can also find handmade cheeses, soaps, honey, baked goods, meats, and so much more. Winter markets are a sensory experience and cheerful community hub. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we highlight some of Maine's winter farmers markets and learn how they've changed and grown over the years. Do you have a favorite market? Tell us about it and what it means to your community. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Many Maine farmers markets don't shut down when the weather gets cold. They just move inside or to a protected space, and they continue to serve as community hubs and places to get fresh produce and farm products all over the state. Today, we're going to learn more about the role of winter's farmers markets in Maine. Joining me, Jimmy DiBiase, who is Executive Director of the Maine Federation of Farmers Markets. Jan Gorenson, an organic vegetable garden. You are not a garden, you are a farmer, an organic vegetable farmer who owns and operates Gorenson Farm in Dresden. She founded the Damariscotta Farmers Market and was a founding member of the Booth Bay Farmers Market. And James Gagne is owner of Second Frost Farm and lead organizer of the Friday Belfast Winter Farmers Market. We invite you to join the conversation. Do you have a favorite winter market? Are you a farmer that depends on having a way to sell your products this time of year? Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Thank you all for joining us. And right before lunch, I know this is going to make us, a little hungry. We're going to be talking about cheese and baked goods and wonderful produce. So, Jimmy, I'm going to start with you. What can you tell us about winter farmers markets in Maine? How many are there? Where are they?
Hey, Jennifer. Great to be here. There are 27 winter farmers markets in Maine. They stretch up north to Bangor and Orono. There's one in Bar Harbor and in Sedgwick. Down the coast, we've got Belfast, Rockport, all the way south to Berwick. And into the mountain regions, there's Farmington, Bridgeton, Wilton, Greenville. Dover Cove has a winter farmers market as well. So they dot the state. There's over 200 small businesses that earn some of their livelihood and earnings at these winter farmers markets. Over 110 of those small businesses are farmers and food producers. It is a critical part of the small business fabric in Maine, and we're excited to talk about it today.
So, Jimmy, if someone's familiar with a summer farmers market in their community, how is a winter farmers market similar and how is it different?
Great question. Most of them are inside. I don't think there's any more winter farmers markets that operate outside, although the Orono market operated outside for 15 years. And during COVID, we saw, farmers markets were declared essential in March of 2020. A lot of them moved outside and developed really innovative ways to get fresh food to folks during that time. How are they different than their summer counterparts? Of course, the seasonality is probably the big difference. You're not necessarily going to find fresh tomatoes and other just things, corn you'd expect in the summer months. But Farmers have really evolved and adapted to the seasons here in Maine, and I know Jan and James can talk a lot more about that. But the seasonality of produce, you'd be really surprised of what's available there. And of course, there's still meat and eggs, so it's a lot of the same faces. There's definitely some farmers that grow just for the winter months and build a business model around that winter market, and those sales. But yeah, I think Jan and James could probably speak to that as well.
Yeah, I'll turn to you, Jan. How did you get into farming, and how did you become such a fierce advocate for farmers markets, so much so that you started too, or helped start too?
Just to clarify, I didn't start the Damariscotta Farmers Market, though I joined them in 1986. That was the first summer market that I ever did. And I was known as the potato lady at that market. And since then, definitely our farm has evolved into becoming certified organic and growing a wide variety of produce. And we did start the Booth Bay Farmers Market. And we started going to the winter farmers markets when they were first being established, and that was in 2008. At the Brunswick Indoor Winter Market. And it was a wonderful blend of producers, not just food producers, but crafts. And so 2008 for that, and then 2010 for the Portland Winter Farmers Market and the Bath Winter Farmers Market.
So you're busy, yeah.
Yeah, around the calendar. We used to just do a winter CSA back in the early years. But as we learned how to store crops better, we were like, why can't we share our food with folks who buy from us all summer, all year round? And that was really the first impetus. I could have gotten a job working off the farm. But instead, we learned how to store food and make it available to folks who value that in the winter.
That's so interesting and such an important distinction that, there are some farms that make this decision that we're going to operate in the summer and then we're going to take that other job to help make ends meet. And then Jan, you've made a choice. No, we're going to try to make it year round. James, I'll turn to you. Tell us about Second Frost Farm. The name sort of lets us know that winter is important to you.
Certainly. We actually changed our name a few years back to better represent the full four seasons of farming that we do. So we're a very small farm. We were under a couple of acres, and our decision to start growing greens through the winter was sort of born out of that small size. And a lot of farms on bigger acreage had the capacity to grow a lot of the classic winter storage crops in Maine, like potatoes, onions, winter squash, and we just simply didn't have the space to grow those crops. But we also didn't want to have to take that off-farm job and wanted to be able to bring income to our farm year round. And so we started growing greens in some of our unheated high tunnels after maybe our third or fourth season. And yeah, it proved really successful. I mean, there was certainly a learning curve to figuring out how to grow vegetables in December and January. But what was really apparent to us early on is that there was a demand for them from our local community. And with the help of some grants from the NRCS, we were able to put up a couple more high tunnels. And so yeah, now we aim to go to farmers markets probably 11 of the 12 months a year. We try to take February off, both because that's the hardest month to grow vegetables, and we also need a little bit of a break in between the seasons. But yeah, it basically allows our farm on small acreage to continue to do what we do. And as the price of land has gone up, there's smaller farms popping up, and it's become really important for them.
So you focus on greens.
In the winter, we do, yeah. So crops like spinach and kale, we were out harvesting collards yesterday, a number of different salad mixes with chicories and mustard greens. We're always experimenting with new things, radishes, hackerei salad, turnips, celery. We grew a lot of fresh celery this year that we were harvesting up until last week. Yeah, and so it's
And I've
been
heard
fun to
celery is
do.
hard. And you said unheated high tunnels. Do you have a mix of heated and unheated, or are they all unheated high tunnels?
We're going all unheated at this
Wow.
point. And so, yeah, high tunnel, for those that don't know, it's basically a large greenhouse structure where we're growing directly in the soil. So it's not hydroponic, it's not on seedling benches. Stuff is grown in the ground. We're selecting varieties that are cold hardy. We're planting them in the fall months, so like September, October, and trying to get them up to size while there's still some warmth and daylight. And then when those cold days settle in mid-November and December, they just sort of hold there. And on really cold nights, we'll cover them with row cover and frost blankets to tuck them in, and they'll freeze. It's pretty incredible. They'll freeze solid. You like go out there first thing in the morning, you're like, oh, my spinach is like frozen solid. And then the sun comes out, it warms up. And yeah, there's fresh greens to harvest. And that process also makes the greens incredibly sweet and tender. And yeah, it's been fun.
Jen, what about you? What vegetables? You said you've expanded beyond potatoes, and how do you grow? Do you also use high tunnels, or do you have a variety of methods for growing in the wintertime?
We have actually seven high tunnels that we have greens in. And so we have incorporated that through the years, and have added almost a tunnel every year for the past 7 years since our sons have come home to the farm, and helped to manage it, because the management of those tunnels is intense in the winter. We don't use extra heat in them as well, so we're essentially putting these row covers, these little blankets, over the plants so we can prevent them from freezing to death. So that has been a huge draw at the farmers market, to be able to bring greens. Our carrots, people fall in love with our carrots all summer long, and they're like, we need your carrots all winter. And we grow, like sweet potatoes and onions, like pretty much everything that you need to bring into your kitchen to cook meals for the week. And yeah, the markets are weekly, so it makes it it's a pattern that our customers have fallen into in the summer. And we just really saw such great benefit to be able to continue that relationship with our customers, not just in the summer and in the fall, but all year round.
Yeah, I'm listening to everything you're talking about, though, Jan and James. I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot of work maintaining these high tunnels, especially in the weather that we can have here in Maine. Watching the forecast and running out and covering up vegetables when it's really, really cold. Never mind all the farmers markets. That means harvesting, packing, transporting, getting there super early in the morning. I mean, James, what time are you getting up on a market day?
Well, I was up at 5:15 this morning to pack the truck to head up to Rockland, where our crew is currently selling some greens right now. And yeah, so it can be some early mornings in the summer, definitely a little earlier than that, even when the truck is even more full. But one of the nice things about growing in the winter is the days are actually a little bit shorter for us, right? It doesn't get light out until 7 o'clock, really, in the dead of winter here. And you can't go out and harvest until things have had a chance to thaw and perk back up in the sun. And so one of the things I like about growing in the winter is sort of you still have this r daily rhythm of harvest and market. But the workday really starts a little bit later and certainly ends earlier. It certainly also adds a bit of a challenge in trying to cram in like a full market harvest into a short window. But yeah, it can be some early mornings.
Well, Jimmy, we've been talking. Oh, go ahead, Jan.
Yeah, and I wanted to add, it's not just us doing this work. We have an awesome crew. So when they come and work with us during the winter, which is why these winter farmers markets are so beneficial to our farm, because we have trained a really awesome staff over the last, 5 years, 10 years. And so we're trying to find employment to keep them busy all winter long. So they know they have their own matrix. They have during the morning when they need to go out and open the tunnels and pull the tunnels back. And then at the end of the day, which how many layers of Rime need to go on on the tunnels? Like they're such a well-trained crew that actually being able to share the workload with them through the winter is beneficial for all of us. And, you know, for the folks that get to eat the incredible greens that come out in the winter, they're very different than the flavor of the summer greens.
Yeah. And Jimmy, we've been talking about produce, which is, of course, it's a farmer's market and the most important part. But boy, some of these farmers markets are really so much more than a place to go buy vegetables.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the experience of going to a market, a lot of them happen on Saturday mornings. It can be a great outing to do with family or friends. Some of them have coffee stalls there. There's prepared food vendors. There's music often. And a lot of markets, what's awesome about the farmers market community in Maine is each of these individual farmers markets are independent of each other. They have their own presidents, market managers, and ways of making decisions. And in Maine, we have a definition of what a farmer's market is, which really protects the integrity of farmers markets. You know that if a farmer is selling at a farmer's market, 75% plus of what they're selling has to come from their farm. And so I mentioned that because you will find that some farmers markets in Maine, even winter markets, don't have craft vendors, but they are, and that is a decision probably that stems from the markets being founded by farmers and really wanting to protect the integrity of that and not dilute, the experience. Shoppers come to a farmer's market, they expect a lot of farm and a lot of food. But there are great, wonderful craft and artisan vendors, especially during the winter months. And, for holiday gift shopping, it's the last Saturday before some of the big winter holidays coming up. So it's a great time to go have an outing with family and friends and to stock up on gifts. There's fiber that, there's plenty of gift products that stem from farms still, whether it's dried flower arrangements, but yeah,
Knitting
fiber,
wool.
sheepskin, wool, lotions, balms, beeswax candles. And
Chocolate,
there are
roasted coffee.
right, I know, right? And cheese boxes, some cheese makers like put together these gift boxes. Of course, you could just go and prepare your own gift basket of consumables that originate from farmers markets.
Told you we'd be hungry. We are talking about winter's farmers markets on Maine Calling. Do you have a favorite? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or post a comment on Facebook or Instagram. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're learning about winter farmers markets in Maine, where they are, and why they matter for farmers and for their communities. With me today, Jan Gorenson, an organic vegetable farmer who owns and operates Gorenson Farm in Dresden. She was one of the first farmers in the farmers market in Damariscotta and helped found the Booth Bay Farmers Market. James Gagne owns Second Frost Farm. He helps lead the Friday Belfast Winter Farmers Market. And Jimmy DiBiase is Executive Director of the Maine Federation of Farmers Markets. You can share your comments and questions by email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Calling in now is Jer Lang Tisk, who is owner and founder of Red Kettle Foods in Belfast. Thanks so much for calling in, Jer.
Hi, good morning. Really excited to be here with you.
I understand there is an interesting backstory to how you ended up running a food business and ended up being in farmers markets. You were a cook on a ship?
Yeah, I was. So I started my culinary career as a cook on sailing ships in the Caribbean. I did that for about 10 years. I worked in some restaurants, and then I was kind of tired of making other people's food, and I really wanted to make Asian food in specifically.
All right, so I understand you sell kimchi. Tell us what kimchi is and tell us what else you sell.
Yeah, kimchi is a Korean fermented vegetable. So a lot of people, when they think of kimchi, they think Napa cabbage, which is the most common form that we find here in the States. But kimchi can be anything. So any vegetable can be lacto-fermented. So we do kimchi, which is our flagship product, but we also do a lot of other Asian lacto-fermented vegetables. I do a Japanese pickle. I'm working on a couple of other things that we do seasonally, and our focus at Red Kettle Foods is sustainable and seasonal products that use more Maine-grown and Maine-produced products than commercially distributed. So we're trying to get there. It's a little difficult starting out because when you start out, you find all these things that are not grown here, but we're trying to shift that perspective a little bit.
So, how big, how important are winter farmers markets to your business?
Our business, we are a value-added product. That's what they call people at farmers markets that aren't farmers, and we don't sell vegetables. But our product is still seasonal, even though people think of things that are on the shelf stable as year-round, because where we are located on the mid-coast, on the coast is very seasonal. And so we have this big bump in the summer. People come. There's a lot of people who live here during the summer, and then in the winters, there's nothing. And so even when we sell wholesale and we sell to the local co-ops, but it doesn't really get us through the winter. And so winter farmers markets, one, is a good way to keep up our revenue. And then two, it's really the local community that comes out to these. And so, as I said, in the summer, it's a lot of tourists and a lot of summer visitors, and then they all leave in the end of October, and it's just you're talking to your neighbors. You're telling your neighbors that, yeah, here is some really good food that you can eat that is made right here, which I think is really important for our community to know that there are these resources here for them.
Well, Jer, thank you so much for calling in and good luck to you. Jer Lang Task is the founder of Red Kettle Foods in Belfast. Go ahead, James. I know you probably know Jer, huh?
I do. Hi, Jared. Another vendor at the Belfast and Rockland Farmers Market with us. But I wanted to piggyback on something that Jared said about using local products in Red Kettle Foods. And it's one of the cool things about a lot of the farmers markets in the state is even if you're not buying from a farmer, a lot of the food producers that are there are using local ingredients. So when you're buying a breakfast sandwich from Spark Bagel, like the spinach that was on that sandwich came from a local farm. The grain they're using is regional. The eggs they're using are coming from local farms, and that's written into a lot of the bylaws of these farmers markets. And Jimmy touched on this earlier, but farmers markets are really supporting more than just the farms that are there. There's like a broader agricultural implication and support that these farmers markets are really critical for.
Jimmy, I want to circle to a really important point, and that is that, there are a lot of people in Maine who have a very limited income and may be listening to this and thinking, boy, I'd really love to go and support my farmers market, but I don't think I can afford that. That's not necessarily true, right? There are all sorts of ways in which people can afford this wonderful produce from their local farmers, whether it's in the winter or the summer.
Yeah, so that brings to mind a few programs that the Federation runs. Maine Harvest Bucks is a program that is happening at 17 winter farmers markets this season. It's a program for shoppers who use SNAP. SNAP is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It's the program formerly known as food stamps. It's now on an EBT card. And what we've arranged at these markets across the state, and 45 participate during the summer months, I should say. There's an umbrella license that the market gets so that all of the food vendors that sell SNAP eligible food items at that market, they're able to take that SNAP currency now, which is great. And what Maine Harvest Bucks does is when those shoppers use their SNAP dollars locally, they're getting matching bonus bucks. That's what the Maine Harvest Bucks are. Those bonus bucks can only be used on fruits and vegetables at the market. And combined, we know over 10,000 households across the state at these 45 markets from Presque Isle to Kittery are accessing more food, eating more fruits and vegetables, It's just a vital part of the public health infrastructure in the state and the food security infrastructure in the state. Farmers markets become these public health sites, which is just amazing. From shopper surveys, we know that people that use the program are getting introduced to new fruits and vegetables and and just getting more food out of it.
And how do people get
And
access to the Harvest Bucks? How does that work?
sure. So, there's no sign up required when you get to the market, but you do need to have SNAP EBT. So there's an income requirement tied to that. And that's something that you do with the Maine Department of Health and Human Services Office for Family Independence. So if you just Googled Maine DHHS OFI or SNAP in Maine, you'd likely get to see the eligibility for that. Also, farmers accept WIC throughout the year. And during the summer months, there's an additional credit that WIC shoppers get to spend directly with farmers. But year-round, farmers can accept WIC from families that participate in that program. In the summer months, Senior Farm Share is a program that we've expanded into the farmers market community where income-eligible seniors, if they meet the income guidelines for SNAP, then they meet the income guidelines for Maine Senior Farm Share, which is great because they can piggyback on top of each other. But this year, we had over 1,000 seniors enrolling at 10 farmers markets across the state. They get $50 in these senior bucks, basically, and they can spend those on fruits and vegetables and honey. And what I'll say, Jennifer, is there's such a great food security component to this, food access component, and I know that a lot, Jan and James and a lot of farmers across the state get into farming to feed their whole communities. And I will say there's a huge economic income impact component to this program. One in seven Mainers receive SNAP. It's mostly seniors and families with young children, or people that are experiencing disabilities and just facing financial hardship for those reasons. So one in seven Mainers received SNAP. In November, it was over $30 million just in that month. And a lot of those dollars go to big box stores and are just supporting food systems that are not in Maine and are potentially, just causing issues that local food systems can address. So for some of those dollars to go into the local food system and help Jan and James and hundreds of farmers across the state build a sustainable business is just awesome, and we're really psyched about the program.
Wonderful. Joining us on the line now is Aklilu Sayadu, who is owner of Niyat Catering. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
I understand that you make and sell Ethiopian food. What made you decide to turn that into a business?
To bring an opportunity to Mainers a little different and healthy options of food.
Yeah. So what winter farmers markets do you participate in, and what can people buy from you?
Currently, I'm at a Brunswick Winter Farmers Market, and people can buy the whole meal. We make a spongy fermented flatbread from scratch, and then a stew which goes with it, like a vegan vegetarian stew made out of lentils, greens, and then meat, beef, and chicken. So they can find us currently at Brunswick Winter Farmers Market, but we also have been going to Yarmouth, Cumberland, and other farmers markets.
Wonderful. Aklilu, I'm thinking that probably there are people who the first time they try Ethiopian food, it's from you at a farmers market. Do you believe that this is something an important part of sharing your culture and expanding people's knowledge of food?
That is right. Not a lot of or many people have an access to travel to Ethiopia, so it's definitely a good way of sharing cultural or traditional Ethiopian food. So yes, a lot of people love it, and they have accepted us, and we thank them for supporting continuously buying our products.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. That's Aklilu Sayadu. He's the owner of Niyat Catering. And thank you for calling in. We have so many emails coming in. I'm going to get to as many as I can here. Suzanne writes, the Greenwood Farmers Market's a year-round market in Western Maine. An important aspect of some winter markets is that we serve very rural communities year-round with produce as well as community connections. The Greenwood Farmers Market was established more than 12 years ago. We moved to our current location at the old Greenwood Town Hall building on Main Street about 10 years ago, where we have indoor setup in winter in bad weather, and then we set up outside the building in spring, summer, and fall. Brian and Suzanne Dunham co-manage the market. We also own Dunham Farm, Velvet Hollow Sugar Works, where we produce maple syrup, and operate a dedicated gluten-free bakery. So, Jimmy, even a Greenwood, very small town, and still served by a winter farmers market.
Yeah, you know, what you just shared there just reminds me of like the revitalization that these winter markets, like the anchors points that they put in a community. I think Jan has a story to share later if we have time for it about the Bath Freight Shed and how that Bath Farmers Market, but yeah, especially in rural communities, like where else are you socializing? You know, farmers markets are this great third place that's not a bar, which maybe even rural communities don't have, right? And they bring people together in these, like a former town hall. You know, in Portland, it's an old school gymnasium. In Bath, it's a freight shed. Just great community gathering spots.
I'm going to ask you, Jan, about the freight shed in just a second, but I want to read Bree's email because it's also about the Greenwood Farmers Market. Bree's with Ellis River Farm. I'm a farmer at the Greenwood Farmers Market. We open every other Friday in the winter, 4 to 6 p.m. A variety of vendors, including maple syrup, baked goods, breads and soups, and pot pies, as well as local artist handmade goods. My farm sells fresh greens, including kale, arugula, lettuce, mesclun, spinach, and radish. We also sell Icelandic wool and wool products. COVID has affected our market, and we've lost many of our customers, and welcome more folks to come and visit us. So not just for locals, but saying, come to Western Maine and come between 4 and 6 every other Friday to the farmer's market. Okay, Jan, now the freight shed story.
It was a very rundown building on Water Street in Bath, and a very longtime farmers market customer and architect, Vibeke Theodore, had the vision to create that space for an indoor to essentially revitalize that building and use it for an indoor winter farmers market space. We had been in a community center at a church, and getting produce in and out was a struggle. And it is right down, a block from where the summer farmers market is outside on the waterfront. And she, with help of folks, put together a huge fundraising campaign to begin to renovate that building. And it got called the Freight Shed. And it also houses Maine's first ship organization. So there's a real symbiotic relationship between the farmers market and Maine's first ship. And every Saturday morning from 9 to noon, it's gotten warmer and warmer and warmer every year because not all renovations happen at once for a nonprofit and based on fundraising. But what a beautiful space has been saved and put to really great community use. The folks in the Bath area are so supportive. We're very lucky to be there.
Oh, and James, you also have a neat story about a space.
Yeah, so the Belfast Farmers Market in the winter for years had been partnering with the local Aubuchon Hardware in their greenhouse space, which was amazing, and they were an incredible host. But both the hardware store and the farmers market were sort of outgrowing that space. And so we were on the hunt for a new space this year, and Seaport Community Health Center had recently acquired this old office building formerly part of the MBNA and Bank of America complex in Belfast. And in the center of this campus is this giant, like 5 or 6,000 square foot atrium, glass ceilings, slate floors. And it had been unused for years. And we approached Seaport, and they were super excited to host us there. And it's been our first year there, and it's been incredibly well received by both the community, the vendors there, and also the health center. It's really amazing to see, doctors and physicians, on their lunch breaks or snack breaks, able to come and do their weekly grocery shopping, and patients utilizing those services to come in before and after an appointment. And I mean, I'll also say one of the challenges of a winter farmers market is being able to cultivate this sort of community experience that farmers and vendors really want to cultivate. But finding these like big, bright spaces that are easy for vendors to get in and out of is really challenging. And we don't have huge budgets to rent out event spaces. And so being able to build these community partnerships is so critical. And I think we've all been super fortunate to make this happen.
We're talking about winter farmers markets. Our phone number 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. We're talking about local farmers markets that stay open all winter long. My guest, James Gagne with Second Frost Farm and the Friday Belfast Winter Farmers Market. Jimmy DiBiase with the Maine Federation of Farmers Markets. And Jan Gorenson with Gorenson Farm and is also active in several farmers markets. You can join our conversation 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email if you're quick to talk at mainepublic.org or post to Facebook or Instagram. We'll go through a few more emails here because there's so many. Miriam says, I adore the Portland Winter Farmers Market. In the middle of the winter, fresh produce grown by our passionate local farmers is a ray of sunshine. I'm always amazed at the quality and range of food on offer and really value being able to buy local year-round. Let's see here. Two-Toed Farm and Farm on Facebook writes, prepping, getting ready to cut greens today for the Seacoast Eat Local Winter Farmers Market, Saturdays in Rawlinson, New Hampshire, lots of Maine towns and food businesses there. And the Berwick Farmers Market is the second Sunday each month, all winter. Winter markets are great. A question for you, Jan, in the email from Bruce. We are lucky enough to live about 25 minutes from Gorenson's and love to buy fresh vegetables there. I'm curious about these winter growing structures, having studied some about passive solar gain. I wonder if they use black plastic between rows and whether that keeps frost from setting in. It seems that the ground would give back heat at night or on cloudy days. So, Jana, I know it's probably very complicated, but how about a primer? How does it work?
Well, actually, we've moved away from using black plastic in the winter because there are lots of little critters that like to hide out under the black plastic. So everything that we are growing in our tunnels right now are not grown with black plastic. They're grown, we seed or transplant directly into the ground. And then we'll use our row covers as a means to protect the crop.
And Jan, I remember, I mean, I've been a reporter for a long time, and I remember when winter farming was new and sort of radical, but we've really learned a lot, haven't we? So many more crops can be grown under just a little bit of cover all winter long.
Yeah, and I think that it's because a lot because of the winter farmers markets and the demand that folks have initiated for those kinds of crops, because yes, they could go to your local, health food store and get their root crops and onions and those kinds of things. But a lot of us are not growing at such a scale that we can wholesale to our some of us can, but some of us are smaller scale and aren't able to wholesale to the local health food stores. So it's that demand that just keeps pressing us to be more innovative. And we have to balance those structures out with how we use them in the summer. And so that gets a little tricky.
I bet. So I'm guessing are you growing seedlings in the spring, but how are you using them in the summer?
Lots of tomatoes and cucumbers and those heat loving crops that people like to eat in, you know, June versus July.
We'll go to Lynn, who's calling from Belmont. Hi, Lynn. Go ahead.
Hey, Jennifer. Thanks so much for taking my call. Yeah, I go to the Belfast Farmers Market every Friday. I went there all summer and stocked up my freezer with fresh vegetables for the winter. But I love going to the indoor one and getting fresh greens and lettuce mixes. And I'm really into canning and pickling. And so I've been, you know, getting daikon radishes and carrots and making pickled vegetable mixes. And it's just a fantastic farmer's market. And Second Frost Farm is usually one of my first stops when I get there, because I just love their produce is delicious. And it's just wonderful to have the fresh vegetables all winter long. So I just wanted to call and put a shout out there for the Belfast one. It's excellent.
James, music to your ears.
I love it. Thanks, Lynn. Nice to hear from you, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Jimmy, this time of year, a lot of people like to buy gift certificates for somebody's stocking or a colleague. Is that something that's possible at farmers markets?
I'm glad you asked. Yeah. So the Maine Federation of Farmers Markets has a program called Bumper Crop, which is effectively a gift certificate that you could go to our website, mainefarmersmarkets.org, and buy right now in time for the Christmas holiday. And with Bumper Crop, it's a $5 gift certificate. It comes in $5 denominations, and it can be used at all winter markets that are participating in the program, which you can find that out on our website. But most of the ones that have been named today are participating. And it's good on all food items. So it comes in a cute envelope with a stamp on it and, you know, additional materials and stickers. And it's a great way, you know, we use this tool a number of ways to promote farmers markets. Of course, buying it for a loved one or a friend or even yourself, you're committing to this local currency that can only be spent with farms and food producers at farmers markets. But, you know, the program was founded as a tool for workplace wellness. So employers like the city of Bangor every year give it to their employees in the summer months. And a lot of it gets spent in the summer months, but we're definitely seeing an increasing amount being spent in the winter months. So they give it to their employees, and a great value add for them, and why I think it works so well with employers, is that the employers are only on the hook for paying for what their employees are actually spending. So for the food that they buy, they're not like buying outright the gift certificates. We have a reporting system where we can track the vouchers that are redeemed by employer. So it makes it definitely a bit more affordable for the employers, and just a great partnership with the business community across the state. Yeah.
We have an email here from Bob. It's Bob Neal, who's the founder and retired owner of The Turkey Farm in New Sharon. He writes, I need to correct my friend, Jan Gorenson. Brunswick was not the first winter market in Maine. At least 4 years before Jan and I, and nearly 40 others, opened the market at Fort Andros in Brunswick, we were lugging our products upstairs to the Orono Winter Farmers Market at the Maine Farm and Home Museum. And about the same time that Fort Andros started, we were selling in a winter market in South Portland, loading up early and heading down to SoPo right after church. The Bath Winter Market, of which Jan is also a member, also started about the same time as Brunswick, and a great market for shoppers. The point being, Jan, I think, is that Maine is a little bit of a leader in this. It may feel in your community like winter farmers markets is a recent thing, but people in Maine have been buying vegetables and other farm products in the winter in Maine for a long time.
I meant to call my friend John Barnstein of Mainly Poultry, because he's been part of the Orono market for ever. And Stan corrected Bob. Thanks so much.
Lucy says, I'd like to shoot out thanks to Flyaway Farm in Lovell, Maine. The Ward family works so hard in summer and winter to raise and sell a variety of produce, handmade baked goods, and crafts to the community. An email here from Bill. another view on pricing. I don't know how your guests price their produce and products, but my experience is most vendors are underpriced. People that have the ability are willing to pay more than at supermarkets in order to support our local farmers. James, I'll let you take this one. I'm sure pricing is tricky.
Yeah, there's a lot of hard jobs in farming, and pricing is probably among the hardest for us. Jimmy mentioned it earlier, but most of us don't get into farming to get rich. We get into farming to try to feed our community. And especially in the last couple of years, we've seen our cost of production go way up. Everything from labor to field inputs. This time of year, we're sort of reviewing our numbers from the previous year, and we're trying to figure out how much each of those crops costs us to produce. And it does feel really hard to raise our prices every year, and yet oftentimes it's what we have to do. And we do hear from a lot of people that we should be charging more, and they're right. But we also are trying really hard to make sure our food is accessible to everyone. It's a real balancing act. And I think people are finding value in our food for a couple of reasons, and maybe willing to pay a little bit more. It's oftentimes, like when we're going to market on Thursday and Friday, that food was harvested on Wednesday. And so stuff is lasting longer in people's fridges. There's less food waste. There's like higher nutrient density in it. So I think for people that can afford it, they're excited to pay more for it and are willing to pay more for it. And I just know a lot of people are struggling to meet their food budget, whether they're shopping at the farmer's market or the grocery store. And farmers are certainly aware of that.
An email here from Jay. How do you pitch a new farmer's market to establish farmers and producers, artists and craftsmen too, in an area? What values should you highlight and what benefits should you include? How do you pitch potential sponsors as well? I'll start with you, Jimmy, but then I'll turn to Jan. Sounds like Jay would love to have a winter farmer's market in his or her community. How do you start? What do you think about?
That question, it's a great question, and it just makes me think of what Jan was just talking about with John Barnstein, and like how, you know, a lot of these thriving farmers markets, they all have an origin story of farmers, primarily farmers, getting together, committing to a market, committing to a time and space for the winter season. You know, in Rockland, James could speak to how like the Rockland farmers market traditionally ends in October, and they're experimenting with season extension. So like their winter market really just, I think this is the last one today. So just want to call out that even in starting a summer farmers market too, having committed farmers, I think, is by far most important. And I'm really proud of the model in Maine where a lot of markets continue to be run by farmers because they know their business best. These markets are an extension of their business at this point. It's one of the primary marketing channels for a lot of them. I think Jay should find farmers that are tied to that community and interested. And it's not a situation, if you build it, they will come. There's definitely winter farmers markets out there that struggle to get shoppers to come. So I think having a really good marketing plan, bringing in farmers who have customers, bringing in other food businesses that already have customers and a following built up is a great starting point. And I think Jan and James are the resident experts on this more than me. So I'll let them chime in too.
Jan.
I think it's a challenge in that. I know that there's a group trying to start a winter farmers market in Booth Bay, and I don't know how they're doing, but they did reach out, and you can't do all farmers markets everywhere, and so I know that they're reaching out to other people. I do think that the timing of when a farmer's market is happening is critical. And understandably, you can't create a Saturday every day of the week or every evening of the week. Like Saturday is folks' shopping day generally. So I feel so fortunate that that we are currently members of longstanding markets. And there is a point where there is turnover within markets and where farmers can join, apply and join to the established markets.
Yeah, well, I want to thank all of you. I'm going to make a couple notes. Another Facebook post from Two Toed Farm reminding us about vouchers for veterans, $20 in vouchers to veterans at select winter farmers markets. I believe that that's mainly in southern Maine and New Hampshire. And then also, Jimmy, you want to say there's a list at mainefarmersmarkets.org/winter. So thank you all for being on the program, and sorry to be in a hurry at the end, and sorry to all of you whose comments I was not able to get to. Jimmy DiBiase, Executive Director of the Maine Federation of Farmers Markets, Jan Gorenson, an organic vegetable farmer and helped found the farmers market in Booth Bay, and James Gagne with Second Frost Farm, lead organizer of the Friday Belfast Winter Farmers Market. Today's sound engineer, Jane Donahue. The show's produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Public Radio.